The first reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Let us now listen to the words of the ancient text. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. The second reading is found in the Gospel of Thomas, 1 through 6. Let us hear again the words of the ancient scriptures. These are the hidden sayings that the living Yeshua spoke to Yehuda Toma, the twin, recorded. And he said, whoever discovers what these sayings mean will not taste death. Yeshua said, seek, and do not stop seeking until you find. When you find, you will be troubled. When you are troubled, you will marvel and rule over all. Yeshua said, if your leaders tell you, look, the kingdom is in heaven, then the birds of heaven will precede you. If they say to you, it's in the sea, then the fish will precede you. But the kingdom is inside you, and it is outside you. When you know yourselves, then you will be known, and you will understand that you are children of the living Father. But if you do not know yourselves, then you will dwell in poverty, and you are poverty. Yeshua said, a person old in days will not hesitate to ask a little child, 7 days old, about the place of life, and the person will live. For many of the first will be last and become a single one. Yeshua said, know what is in front of your face, and what is hidden from you will be disclosed. There is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. His students asked him and said to him, do you want us to fast? How should we pray? Should we give to charity? What diet should we observe? Yeshua said, do not lie and do not do what you hate. All things are disclosed before heaven. There is nothing hidden that will not be revealed, nothing covered that will remain undisclosed. Kingdoms, fascinating realms that mesmerize many a democracy-bred American. Just add up the hard copy and the screen time we devote to the bubbling hubbub that surrounds kingdoms and their in-house royals. We gobble up stories about Henry VIII and his unfortunate bevy of wives, and about Prince Rainier III of Monaco and his American beauty, Grace Kelly. And who can forget the People's Princess Diana and her fractured fairy tale? All the current chatter out there about Princess Di won't let us forget, will it? Not that we lean in that interested in constitutional monarchies versus Commonwealth ones. Most of us just stretch and yawn and change the channel. But court dish and regal drama, we lap that up like a thirsty dog on a hot day. The memoir, Spare, written by Sussex Prince Henry, broke the Guinness Book of World Records for sales of a nonfiction book not only on the first day, but also during the first week. 1.6 million copies sold in the United States, 3.2 million worldwide. It seems like kingdom lore attracts way more people than just Americans. Could be that our mysterious attraction to all things blue-blooded stems from some kind of deeper impulses among the land of the free inhabitants. Desires that go beyond the need to know why Prince Harry's family refuses to attend King Charles's coronation in May. Maybe our real desire is to set up house in a Disney-esque sovereignty bubble up when we take a good look around where we do live. Now, I suffer from a math deficiency that taxes even the most sophisticated calculator. But to me, the numbers just don't add up. The CEO of Dollar General Inc. rakes in $500,000 each year, while a Meadville store associate takes home about $12,000. A $488,000 difference. And no one needs to be a math whiz to calculate in whose account the overpay is deposited. So don't worry, I did use a calculator that time. Unfortunately for some, there's more. Taking a broad sweep through Crawford County, the statisticians size up the area as far and away from the national average. Higher un- and underemployment, lower job growth, bleak 10-year forecast. In the meantime, 4,000 people on average visit the Emmaus Ministry Soup Kitchen in Erie for a hot meal. And Second Harvest Food Bank of Northwestern Pennsylvania provides groceries for 88,000 families in 11 counties. That works out to 60% of school-age kids who qualify for a free lunch in Meadville run the risk of going to bed hungry when school is out. Not just more, a whole lot more. And even though we live miles from the nearest natural desert, a food one that scorches all of our neighborhoods and dries up any fresh choice options feeds into the alarmingly high rate of unhealthy adults and even sicker kids. Living in a real desert proves not nearly as dangerous. Hard to ring up the magic here. So why not imagine, with Willie Nelson and Leon Russell, of finding a sweet little nest somewhere in the West and let the rest of the world go by? Inhabiting a spot beneath the starry skies and a carefree kingdom under the faithful and fun-loving rule of King Mickey and Queen Minnie sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Now, even though the fantasy world of Disney never crossed the mind of anyone living in first century Palestine, the dream of a safer place in a better world weighed most pressingly on the people of the Judean peasant class. These folks did all the heavy lifting, especially around food production, but reaped very little of the benefits. As systematically exploited farmers living in an agrarian empire turned commercial enterprise, the lower class men and women suffered under a business plan that laid out land acquisition and debt foreclosure as a win-win for the aristocracy. Disney, not quite. Monsanto? Maybe. The resulting class dynamic left those on the lower rungs with precious little: food, money, security. And used to swinging on the Ferris wheel buckets that scraped the pavement, the peasants of first century Rome understood all too well that things could get even worse. And then in waltzes Jesus of Nazareth, the wisdom teacher turned political revolutionary with a grassroots charisma and a kingdom come movement. He climbs up a mountain to perform a solo act, a chapters long sermon in the New Testament's Gospel of Matthew that sings the praises of another, more equitable kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. Jesus plays to the crowd with soul-stirring notes and utopian melodies of a kingdom lore that meld the political with the religious. What if, he asks pointedly and eventually dangerously for him, what if God replaces Caesar on the imperial throne? Talk about throwing shade. on the powers that be. No wonder the empire comes looking for him. Jesus' line of thinking provides his hearers with stuff as dreams are made on, to quote William Shakespeare. A basic, fundamental, radical, utopian, countercultural rejection of the world as it currently turns. Wouldn't be surprised to see an occasional ban the bomb placard or two in the crowd that day. And ripe for revolution, the folks scattered around the hillside listen intently. The crowd muses, throwing off the kingdom of this world. Ushering in the kingdom of heaven. Interesting. And then they agree. Yes, yes, hell yes. All right, Jesus responds, now pray this way. Nestled smack in the middle of his often quoted monologue, Jesus goes interactive in today's first reading, Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. Pray then in this way, verse 9 begins. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. No Mickey Mouse stuff here. And while encouraging his listeners to pay it forward to a better future, Jesus leads the relief ask for the monthly bills. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. Healthy food, financial security, public safety. Sound familiar? Now, all this pie in the sky versus mud on the ground discussion talks rather old-fashioned, doesn't it? Surely we, contemporaries, find a middle and more modern ground to build on, right? I mean, if we can create a robotic Lobot to help us shop in a hardware store, and if we can trust an artificially intelligent color and life IQ to match our foundation to our concealer to our lipstick at Sephora, surely we can find a hopeful place betwixt and between such a drastic binary. Kevin Kelly, co-founder of the magazine Wired, believes as such. At least that's what the white-bearded futurist claims in his book, What Technology Wants. He proposes a protopia, a slow-moving but technologically progressive form of advancement. His ideal rate, 1% improvement every year. That adds up to 100% improvement over 100 years. 100 years? Okay, Taco Bell's Taco Bot quips. How is that any way to live mas? The second reading this morning from the Gospel of Thomas, 1 through 6, poses that very same question, not from the mouth of an AI taco hustler, but from the collective consciousness of an early Christian sect. The Gnostic believers who bank on gnosis, aka knowledge, as the key to a transformed life, eschew the orthodox bent of the canonical gospels and explore instead the alternative ones, like the Gospel of Thomas, one of the most complete texts of the Nag Hammadi collection of 13 books or codices discovered in Egypt in 1945. In this gospel, a different definition of the kingdom of heaven comes to light. Not a far-off place or a future event, but a spiritual reality in the here and now. The series of sayings spoken by the living Jesus, Yeshua, and recorded by Yehuda Toma, Thomas the twin, takes on an immediacy lacking in previous accounts. Yeshua states unequivocally that the kingdom of heaven resides not up there or under here, but inside and outside every one of us. The kingdom is inside you and it is outside you, an imminent and transcendent promise of divine presence. But how to tap in to such expressiveness? The disciples, like most inquiring minds, want to know. Do you want us to fast? How should we pray? Should we give to charity? What diet should we observe? Now, had the disciples paid closer attention to the mountaintop sermon delivered by Matthew's Jesus, they would have learned three chapters full of answers. But I tell you, Thomas's Yeshua vibes in a totally different way. From out of nowhere, he claims, "When you know yourselves, then you will be known, and you will understand that you are the children of the living Father." Investing in self-knowledge, understanding who we are and where we fit, opens up the riches and blessings of the most divine of empires, from a father who, unlike Succession's Logan Roy, showers all of his children with untold wealth. And if we choose not to take on the due diligence and discover our true selves and our authentic natures, then you will dwell in poverty, and you are poverty. Sounds like where the Roy children are headed, doesn't it? In this passage, Yeshua rattles off the start of a cone-inspired spiritual journey like a 12-step program on steroids. Seek and do not stop seeking until you find. Know what is in front of your face. Do not lie and do not do what you hate. I love that one. Because the key-shaped reward of all such illumination into our individual and collective psyches unlocks the mysteries that surround us. And in such brightness, we can face the mirror full on, every day. Not later, but right now. Not then, but right away. And here's the bombshell. And whoever discovers what these sayings mean will not taste death. Boom. Yeshua drops the mic. Two very different personas of the founder of Christianity, huh? Jesus and Yeshua, and two divergent views on the kingdom of heaven. Jesus encourages us toward a future hope for a better world and comforts us with the promise of daily relief, while Yeshua points us inward, diving deep to discover our deepest desires and, like the opening prayer invokes, to explore the actions that will bear fruit in accordance with them. And I believe that both visionaries and versions speak universal words of divine wisdom that we can not only take to heart, but also put into practice. With such incredible tools in hand, we can go out to preach and to pray, to ask and to answer, to seek and to find, to know and to understand. And in doing so, we can hope to embody the very kingdom come spirit that works to bring heaven down to earth. Now, it may cut into our royal watching time, but as individuals and communities, if we strive to bring about a world where, in the words of the humorous Garrison Keillor, the women are strong and the men are good looking and the children are above average, every last one of them, then I think it just may be worth it.